In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. The tax collectors and the sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. The Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My friends, we are happy today, aren't we, that Jesus receives sinners and eats with them because of his compassion. What a Lord we serve that he joyfully sits down around the Lord's table, and in heaven we will ever rejoice with him. How comforting to know that he receives sinners and eats with them. Because I'm a sinner, and you're a sinner. And that means he receives us, and he eats with us. Before us, of course, today is one of the most well-beloved of the parables of Jesus. I think the most well-known parables are the parable of the Good Samaritan and the parable of the prodigal son, which is the text today. Now, you almost might say that this isn't quite right, the name we've given to this, the parable of the prodigal son. Because you know what this parable is really about? It's about the compassionate father and his two sons. Actually, this is the story of about a compassionate father who has a prodigal son and a prideful son. Sometimes we are like the younger son, the prodigal son. We're reckless and we waste the gifts of God. Sometimes we're like the older son, prideful and self-righteous. But Jesus says, he is the man who receives sinners and eats with them. And in their own way, both the prodigal son and the prideful son were sinners who needed repentance and forgiveness. Now, in this parable, the prodigal son is pictured by the tax collectors and sinners, these people who knew they were lost. And they are like the prodigal son. They wasted the gifts of God, but they are there to hear Jesus with a humble heart. And the prideful son, the older son, are the Pharisees and the scribes, self-righteous hypocrites who think they're better than everyone else and don't understand why Jesus would abide with sinners. Today, we're rejoicing in this reality, God's compassionate love for us as children, his extravagant compassion we're going to see in the parable as it describes the Father. And this is what we realize for our lives. We were dead, and now we're alive again. We were lost, and now we are found. We had left God's house and home and wandered. But our Father came running down the road in the person of Christ and found us, brought us to life again in Jesus, and welcomes us to his table and to his gifts and clothes us in the royal robe of his righteousness. We have such a compassionate Lord that he's compassionate towards everyone. And that compassion then flows from our life into the life of others. And that's what we look at this morning. The compassionate father and his two sons. If we're going to do that, let's take a look at the younger son first. How are we like the younger son, the prodigals, the lost Gentiles, the tax collectors and sinners? The younger son is a picture of sinners who felt worthless, hopeless, and beyond redemption. Such was the plight of tax collectors and sinners in the society. This younger son is a picture of those people, sinners like you and me. And this is what happened. The younger son comes to his father and says, "I want my share of the inheritance now." This was a shameful thing, because you would normally not receive the inheritance until your father died. Well, as far as this young man considered, his father was as good as dead, because he wanted his inheritance now. And the father gives him his inheritance. And so the younger son gathers up everything that he has, and he goes on a journey to a far country. He goes a long way from home, and he squanders his father's property in reckless living. And he spent it all. In fact, there was nothing left. And then a severe famine arose in the country, and he was in need, had nothing to eat. And so he hired himself out to a Gentile farmer who raised pigs, which were unclean animals to the Jews. And you couldn't sink much lower than this. And though he's in the field feeding the pigs, no one gives him anything to eat. He can't even eat the pods that they feed to the pigs. Now, this was a disgusting life. You want to talk about being in the gutter and in the mud, literally, that is what his life had become. But in repentance, he came to himself. He realized, I am perishing. And my servants back home, the servants, excuse me, of my father, have something to eat. And here I am perishing. So he says, this is what I'm going to do. I will arise and go to my father, and in desperation and despair, I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, and just make me one of your hired servants. Now, this was real repentance. He realized his sin. He woke up, and he realized he had to confess to the Father and go back home again. He understood what the Old Testament lesson said this morning, which was beautiful. Isaiah said, Lord, you were angry with me, but your anger has been turned away. Comfort me. Lord, you are my salvation. I will trust. I will not be afraid to come to you. For the Lord God is my strength, my song, and my salvation. The younger son knew how low he had sunk, but he knew his father was his strength and his song. And so he went and confessed. He came to his senses and he repented. This is what a repentant sinner does. There's a reason why at the beginning of the service we confess our sins of thought, word, and deed. We are coming like this younger son, admitting that we've come to our senses and that during this past week we have committed sins of thought, word, and deed, and we are helpless to redeem ourselves. And so we come with penitent hearts and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. For Christ's sake, forgive me, so I can be one of your sons again. At times, you may have really messed up your life, and you felt like this prodigal son. There's a beautiful modern painting of this, where a man is dressed kind of in jeans and a dress shirt, and he is kneeling on the ground, and the father, in a robe, is embracing him, showing us that this story is not just for them, but for you and me. Man, woman, or child, we come and we fall on our knees, and the Father receives us and says, my son, my compassion is still here for you. Be my son again. So there's times we've been like that younger son and wasted God's gifts. But then we have to ask ourselves, at other times you and I have been like the older son, which is a picture of the angry Jewish Pharisees and teachers filled with self-righteousness, thinking that we're better than everyone else and can redeem ourselves. Thank you. Here was the sin of the older son. And in a way, it's almost worse than the younger son. When the older brother is coming in and he hears that there's this great big party with music and dancing for his younger brother, and the servants tell him what is going on, he is angry. My father is killing a fattened calf for this useless younger brother of mine. He is so angry, he refuses to come into the party, and his father has to leave the banquet, come outside, and beg the son to come in. The father said, your brother has come back, and we are rejoicing. But the older son cannot even admit that this is his brother. He says, this son of yours, not even saying that he's his brother anymore, he devoured your property with prostitutes and you killed a fattened calf for him. This older brother was so filled with pride, he didn't realize what we heard in the Old Testament lesson today, that we have joy when we draw from the water of salvation, that when we call in the Lord's name and call to the Father, he restores us gloriously so we can sing for joy to the Holy One of Israel. This young man wanted nothing to do with that. Now, what is interesting about this parable is we are left to wonder if he ever came to repentance. The younger brother does, but Jesus purposely leaves this parable open-ended. We really don't know if this older brother came to repentance because he's really stubborn about it. He says, look, all these years I've served you, I've never disobeyed your command, and you never gave me a goat to celebrate with my friends. And then the father tries again. Son, you're always with me. All that is mine is yours. As the older son, he was still going to get two-thirds of the inheritance. He would still receive his inheritance. He wasn't being cheated. But he said, we must celebrate, the father said. Your brother was dead, and he's alive. He's lost, and he is now found. The older brother refuses to go into the celebration. In fact, he is insulting his father. The father is entreating him to come in. He insults his father before the servants and refuses to hear his father. He's obstinate, stubborn, angry, and is insultful toward insulting his younger brother, not even thinking that he is his brother anymore. This is the sin of spiritual pride. Spiritual pride is like a cup that is filled to the brim with itself, like this, and Jesus can't put anything in it. Spiritual pride is a life filled with ourselves. We think we're fine and God can't pour anything into us. And that's how this older brother was. And so this is a warning to us. Since we don't know what happened to the older brother, whether he actually repented, it's a warning to us that spiritual pride is just as serious a sin as reckless living. And both of them call for repentant hearts and calling for God's mercy. So that's the younger son and the older son. But this is the best part of the picture. The compassionate father. Compassion and joy. While the boy is a long way off, his father sees him. He feels compassion for him, and he does something remarkable for a noble who had an estate like this man did. He runs to him. He embraces him. He kisses him. He doesn't even let his son make the whole confession. Father, I've sinned against heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father says, quick, bring the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Kill the fattened calf. We must eat and we must celebrate. Did you know what's so remarkable about this picture? This father obviously was a wealthy man. He had an estate and many servants. And he would have been wearing very costly robes. In the first century, the master of a state would never run, ever. The only people that run are the servants who come to serve the master. It's beneath the dignity of a nobleman to ever run. But here, to the great astonishment of everyone at the estate, they see the father with his robes on running down the road. What an astounding picture. And he's running down the road to his son who had squandered what he had given to him. Such is the extravagance of God's mercy and love, unconditional love. He humiliated himself before the servants because of his compassion and his love for his son as he restores him to his family. Our compassionate father and his joy over us is a picture of Jesus. This is what Jesus has done for us. He has, if you will, come running down from heaven to earth to humble himself to be born of the Virgin Mary. He died so that we may live. We were lost, and in him we have been found. That is indeed what St. Paul said in one of my favorite scripture lessons from Corinthians, that Christ shares our flesh and blood. God was reconciling, which means make friends with the world to himself through Christ, not counting our trespasses against us, giving us a message of reconciliation. We are ambassadors for this message to the world, and this is the message. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting our trespasses against us, but made Jesus sin for us on the cross, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus became the servant so that we could receive the royal robes of his righteousness. Jesus was humiliated on the cross so that we can be clothed in him. Thus, we rejoice. It is fitting to celebrate and be glad Because the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new has come. And that's what it means for you and for me. At times, we have been like the younger son and wasted God's gifts. At other times, we've been like the older son, prideful and self-righteous. But in repentance, admitting our sin, and coming to the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for us, we are clothed in the festival robes of Christ's righteousness. We have a ring, the sandals and the shoes of the righteousness of Christ. The church's celebration dance and music making includes Jews, Gentiles who rejoice and are glad because we have the compassionate embrace and the kiss of peace and the word and the sacraments that have come to us. The Father says, welcome back home. Let's go to the feast of the Lord and celebrate. We celebrate here on earth, and that royal festival will come in heaven and know no end. Did you know the Lord has done this for you? Did you know in baptism, the Lord has given you the robe of righteousness, a ring on your finger, shoes on your feet, and you are clothed in your baptism in the righteousness of Christ, and you are restored as a son of the Father. Did you know that in the Lord's Supper, this is the fattened calf and the feast of the Father in His kingdom, as Christ gives us His body and blood? He's the Passover lamb broken for us. And we share the family meal with God the Father, and the feast and banquet in heaven will go on without end. So today, let us rejoice that Jesus is like that Father. We've been like the younger son, we've been like the older son, but God loves us still. And through Christ Jesus, we have experienced His extravagant compassion. Rejoice in that compassion and that salvation today, and become a vessel of that compassion to those around you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and our minds, in faith in Christ Jesus, unto life everlasting. Amen.